Welcome in to another edition of QUTV Hawk Talk, the podcast. I'm your humble host, Shane Holsey. Will Connerly and Wyatt Randolph are with us. Alex Aubuchon has the day off, so it's just the three of us. Fellas, Halloween weekend over the weekend, first week of November. How's everybody's Halloween? You get that extra hour of sleep?
Yeah, they say you get that extra hour of sleep, and so you can take advantage of that, or you can stay up for an extra hour too. But either way, great Halloween. It was good to be able to watch some football, be able to spend some time with friends, and be able to celebrate a holiday. You know, it's one holiday where the mask has to be on usually anyway.
Exactly.
So.
And it was on a Saturday, too. That's wild. That never happens. You know, you'd hope it'd been on a year where we could actually, have a good conscience about all being in the same room together. But no, we all had this social distance and stuff. I did see a lot of parties going on, though. And people was like, I got a mask on. Yeah. And so they just go.
Yeah, that's the Halloween vibe. You got the mask, so you must be good.
Yeah.
Everything's good in the neighborhood. We got plenty to get to on today's show. Some football over the weekend, plenty to get to there. Some QU athletic talk, of course, on QU TV Hawk Talk. And, Will, let's get things started with the QU women's soccer inter-squad scrimmage on Sunday. Yeah. Another fine outing by the ladies of QU women's soccer. What did you like out of what you saw on Sunday? You were on the call with Mr. Brendan Sake.
I was on the call with Mr. Brendan Sake. We got there. Called the match, a scrimmage. They were sporting the black team and the gold team, so new gold uniforms.
How sweet are those?
They look pretty nice. New black uniforms, I should say. I tweaked there. Yeah. The gold uniforms are from last year. But it looked like they had new gold uniforms on by the way that they played, Shane. The gold team played incredible. And so the head coach, Samuel Thomas, and the graduate assistant coach, Mackenzie Bellows, they split up the teams, you know, each week, right? And they compete against each other. Last week, they couldn't really do that because they both actually had to play because so many players got hurt. But this week, they split the team up in that manner. The yellow team or the gold team is Coach Thomas's team, those uniforms. But the new jerseys, the black jerseys, that's Bellows' team. The score was 3-0. And Coach Thomas's team won. When you play for the head coach in a scrimmage, I mean, you're on it more. But, no, I liked what I saw out of both teams. There was a lot of good opportunities, good chances. The weather was really nice. It was a sunny Sunday afternoon. So you like to see that. Elena Nocello had a goal. She's a new addition to the team. She's actually had a lot of goals here this fall. And then Mary Maloney, a senior, she had a couple goals, one that was really good. I know we posted that to social media. But I liked the offense that we saw, and also just the way that the teams played. And, of course, the new unis were pretty clean, even though the black team didn't win. One more scrimmage, it's looking like it's going to happen if all keeps going well with the COVID testing, whatnot, and the protocols. But the team looked good. You know, they were only missing a player or two, and both squads were going at it. It was the fourth or fifth time they were able to do this fall, so It was fun, and it kind of is replicating what right now would be NCAA tournament soccer right now. And in early November, that's what happens. You go to the GOVC tournament, you go to the national tournament. This year, it'll have to wait till next semester. But they're going to be good. They're going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing them play this coming spring.
Of course, that schedule for GOVC soccer pushed back to spring semester, of course, COVID-19 causing postponement of several fall sports, soccer, football, volleyball included. And the women's soccer team, and props to them for being able to get out on the pitch and get some game-like reps, if you will, other than just practicing and working out. That stuff can get kind of mundane, but when you get in an actual game-like setting, even if it's just a scrimmage against your teammates, and sometimes even I found from personal experience that when you're playing against your teammates, it almost tightens your competition a little bit more because – I mean, these are people you know. It kind of heightens your competitive spirit a little bit.
Yeah, it's the games have been competitive all fall, so it's a good sign to see. And they kind of needed that. It's a team that half the players are new, so it's kind of for the freshmen. A lot of the freshmen on the team, it's an opportunity to get acclimated to college soccer without a season in the fall right away. they get it in the spring. So you take some positives out of the situation too. But I agree, when you have competition, Wyatt, with your own team, it heightens the competition for sure a lot of times because you want to beat the people you know. You want to have the bragging rights on them. Hey, I scored on you. Yeah. It's just like when I take Shane to the gym. I go to Pepsi Arena. Yeah, I'm going to try to pull up from the Pepsi logo, say I busted it in his face. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you want to kind of get that good bragging rights, that talking. Now, then again, I'd tie my shoes pretty tight because, you know, he'd probably cross me. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Iron sharpens iron in. So it's you really – you're putting the things that you've been working on together as a team and showing how they work with each other. So you know how people are going to respond, and then you're able to counter that a lot better. And I think that it's like a coordinated game because you know what you're expecting, and it can be easier. And then, you do have that bragging rights kind of, oh, we're going to be talking about this later. We all know we make a mistake right now. I'm going to hear about it all season. All year. So I'm going to play my hardest, and I'm going to just wipe the floor with you because I need to not be the butt of a joke all year. So.
And it is all in jest.
I mean, it's not in like bad stuff.
Of course, because these are, you practice with these people every day. You're around them virtually every day of your lives, and you get to know each other. There's a sense of camaraderie, and when there's that sense of camaraderie, it heightens your competitive spirit and makes you want to not beat them even more, but it kind of elevates your kind of mental side of the game and pushes you a little harder.
I mean, you got to get up for these games because the competition's high. When you have a team like that, an atmosphere like that, imagine when you play somebody in the other locker room. It's going to be, the goal is to have it even more. You know, it's like a rivalry game. You know, like we just saw this past weekend in college football. It was already rivalry week in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I mean, when you do that, and why I loved your verse, you know, bringing up scripture, iron sharpens iron, coming straight out of the Bible there too, you know, ask and you shall receive, that's in there too. So, amen. And because of the fact that they are being able to do that, the iron has to sharpen the iron this semester for the Hawks because they don't have outside competition. So it's going to come down to it in the spring. Who got to sharpen themselves the most in the time when they only had themselves to sharpen each other with?
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about that last time. I forget the player, but he was out for a while.
Rosarena.
Rosarena. And he was just grinding away at home, you know, and it's like just like that. It's like, well, if you're not going against other teams, then you go against your own team, and then
go against the man in the mirror.
And if you're able to beat the man in the mirror, the person that sees you practice every practice and play every game, if you're able to beat that person, then you should be able to beat a person who only sees you maybe once or twice a season.
In sports, a lot of times your biggest competition is yourself.
Definitely,
the man or the woman in the mirror. Mm-hmm. When you look in the mirror, can I perform my best today? You're competing against your best self out there. Yeah. When you try to execute anything, that's who you're trying to compete against. You're envisioning your best self, and you want to compete and try to be that. That's a really good point.
And when you visualize it, this goes for, I mean, if there's any avid golfers, when you step on the tee box, you want to think positive thoughts. You want to picture what is the perfect shot going to look like. And if you have those negative thoughts in your mind, the chances of that negative thing happening are greater. You're almost thinking it into existence. But if you think, this is what the perfect shot looks like on this hole, this is what I need to do, this is how I need to hit the ball, the wind, everything, it heightens your kind of awareness of what's going on around you. And when you think positive thoughts, that can only help you. That same goes for any other sport. I mean, yes, you want to work on your negatives. You want to work on the negative aspects of your game. You want to get better. But if you're not focusing on the positive of what you can do well, then you're just hurting yourself.
It's probably just for life in general. If you think about even calling the sport, if you think positive thoughts before the game, like you're going to call the game well, you're going to do well. We're going to do well on when we're talking before this podcast. We're going to do well on this show. I think that kind of dictates your actions, not only obviously in sport, what we talk about on QUTV Hawk Talk podcast, but also just in a lot of the daily activities that people do when you're trying to perform in any aspect of, I guess, performance. When we specifically focus on the performance of things, whether it's school or your profession or sport, that's something that's really interesting.
Yeah, the power of the mind is wild. You know, it's a if you just have the right mental attitude, you can probably there probably is a greater percentage of performance that'll come out of you just by being more positive about what you can do.
Yeah. Because
as soon as that negativity comes in, it'll push all of the other thoughts away, and you'll just focus on that, and then you'll be in a rut. And I think that's why it's good also with playing with your team, because if it's just you looking at your what you did wrong or what you did right, that can be a little too much, because then you're overanalyzing it. But if it's your other team pointing it out, finding it, and helping you work through it, then it can be a lot easier, and you won't get in that rut, and you work on it and move past it.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah, definitely. You need that. You need that reinforcement.
And the reason, I mean, you guys drove your cars up here, and Henry Ford, big reason why we drive cars, whatnot, coming out with the Model T initially, he said, "He who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right." So he was on it before anybody about that.
All brain power.
That is the power right there from, I mean, that goes back. Henry Ford, Confucius, they all had profound wisdom about the effects and power of the mind and going and creating it into reality.
Yeah. And like the great Yogi Berra once said, baseball's 90% mental, the other half physical.
Yeah.
that same goes for life.
He also said that if there's a fork in the road, you might as well just take it. So
that's true.
there's a book on a Yogi Berra sayings. I actually have it in my little miniature library at home.
Wow, that's great.
many, just one
book. What else can we find in that library?
Yeah. Of books I have?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of baseball books.
when you say baseball books, what does that mean?
So there's literally one book that I have that takes up a good percentage of the bookshelf, and it says baseball. Literally, it says baseball, and it's a thick book about the history of the game of baseball. Then there's a couple encyclopedias about the game of baseball. Then there's a couple books written by, like, The Art of Pitching, The Art of Hitting.
Right.
Then there's broadcasting books, sports, and then a lot of football books. There's a lot of sports books, but there's also some books on religion. And there's books on, like, the power of the mind and kind of some of the things we're talking about. Because I've been interested in some of the things that we just started talking about at the top of the show, like your mental attitude and how that can affect a lot of the things you do. So I have some of books that kind of focus on those things and miracles almost that you can create into reality just by the way you think, and it can affect the way you act. And so some of those books that you would probably put in the spiritual or personal development category, but that's kind of the configuration of the bookshelf when, I guess, you look at it at a whole, a miniature little library. I don't have enough where I need to put numbers on there, do that system yet.
The Dewey Decimal System?
Yeah, we could get there. We could get there.
Do you read often? Like, or has this just been a slow collection over the years?
So I have a ton of books. Like, growing up, I had a lot at home, and I got into reading like a few years ago. And I'm kind of like reading. I know we were talking about something else before the podcast, but I like binge read. Like I read a ton.
You get into the mood like, now I want to read, and then you have to read a bunch.
And I get so into the book. Like I really just like, and I think it's a good alternative for me, like being so into my phone. Coming off the heels of getting your screen time report back, at least me. I know we talked about that a few podcasts ago. But, yeah, I read a decent amount. I like reading articles, but it feels good just to have a book in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely. I definitely will binge read. But sometimes I'll just, like, make a goal. Hey, I just want to read 10 pages today before I go to bed. It kind of helps you get to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
It cleans the palate of the mind, you know.
Yeah, it's just so interesting to learn things when you're reading. You're like, wow, you know, there's so much knowledge out there. And it took maybe this guy 10 years to write a book or 5 years to write a book.
Yeah.
But I can sit down and read it in a couple weeks and gain at least, if I just learn one thing from the book, it's a success.
Oh, so yeah, definitely.
That's pretty cool.
Do you think you said you had the books about baseball. Do you think reading about baseball, absorbing yourself into the history of it, has helped your game at all? Or do you think that it's just because you're a fan, you wanted to know more?
I don't know if it really helped me as a player.
I think you said one was like the art of pitching or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think some of it actually did offer some insight into what I was doing when I was playing. Because those were some of the books that I got into because I love baseball, you know? Yeah, so yeah. I got into it. But it definitely has provided me insight as a broadcaster of baseball. It has provided me, I think, insight as a player too. But insight only goes so far, I feel like, when you're playing. Ultimately, it's what was your ERA.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But no, definitely. I'd say it's helped in both capacities.
Yeah, the announcing, I can see it helping a lot, like calling a game. Mm-hmm. If you, especially you got the baseball encyclopedia, you know those words. You know what to say at the right time. Like when Shane's, going through those fast, when we're on the show and he's, they got a banger coming in from, like, it's like, how does he know to use these buzzwords at these times? And it's like,
I don't know.
And it's so amazing to watch.
That's where reading can come from and help your vocabulary. Do you read a lot, Shane?
I don't read nearly as much as I'd want to or like to. I've been trying to, like, over the summer and over, like, spring break and winter break and stuff, trying to read more. When I was younger, I would read all the time.
Yeah.
With school and everything now, I don't read as much on my own as I'd like to.
A lot of the reading you do is probably, like, the coursework. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of that as a comm major, but I'd say because me and Wyatt and I have noticed you have great vocabulary, and that had to come from a lot of maybe your reading growing up.
Yeah.
Your ability to pull words from basically left field. I just pulled left field. I just pulled
that out. That's what those baseball books are doing. You got the boom, pulling out left field.
But your ability to do that, to grab a word and have it make sense and have it pack the punch, because different words, when you're broadcasting or reading or us talking right now, different words pack more punch than other words. Right. And there's a hierarchy of certain things. Did the team lose, or did the team get killed, or did the team get demolished, or did they get blown out? Like, where
absolutely
is the,
decimated.
You know, yeah, yeah. Did they get obliterated? So there's like a – and like your ability to – find that word that fits the description of exactly what you want to talk about. Holsey does a great job at that for sure.
Yeah. A lot of the books that I've read over the years are either like historical fiction or like history related. And yeah, when you start getting into stuff before, the 20th century books, older than the 1800s, then that's when, your vocabulary starts to change. You read books that are like the first time you open the page, you're like, I can't even understand it.
Like a Shakespeare.
You read it. Yeah. You read it five times. You're like, doth light upon the bit. And you're like, what does this even mean?
Yeah. The King James version of the Bible. You go back and there's so many different versions. But you're like, reading a Hamlet. You're reading a Shakespeare.
Alas, poor Yurik, I knew him, Horatio. You know, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and then they have like the English translation next to it. And you're like, I'm not going to read that. I already read the other one. Okay.
Well, it's different because obviously last week we brought on Edward Madeira. And his language is much different than mine. He was on the show last week. He's a graduate assistant. Mm. And he said I was talking with him about just the different languages. SH sound.
Yeah.
SH sound is shh. But from where he's from, it's a ch, like a CH almost. And so I was like, here is Shane. And he's going to be interviewing you today because he came on the show last week. He was, chain. Chain. I was like, yeah, like you wear around your neck. It's a chain.
Yeah.
And like, call him Chain. And it's just like the different, not even vernacular, but the different pronunciation and speech mechanisms that he has being from the Dominican Republic.
Right.
Even with my roommate, Jay, he's like, Shay and Chain. Yeah. Shane.
It's just, yeah, it's,
yeah,
a,
it's kind of
different. Like a, yeah, it's a different culture, super, different language. It's,
yeah.
Vocabulary is so interesting. And it takes a lot of practice, you know, like anything. I remember as a kid, I hated reading. I connected it with school.
Yeah, 100%.
Anytime I saw a book, I'm like, ugh, no.
I'll be honest with you. I hated reading so much. I didn't start reading really till I got to college. A baseball book here, but when in school, I mean, on the ACT, I got like a 15 on reading. And then I got like 25 plus on everything else. And it, so it really dropped my score. Like I just, I hated reality. I couldn't even pay attention. I don't know. I just, until I grinded through like a whole book for the first time I got in college. It was crazy.
Yeah. I think I read Beowulf in high school and then I was like, oh, this, it just piqued my interest because it was so, it was like an old story, but it was still really cool. And it was about fighting monsters and it had gold and all that like fantasy stuff. But, and then after that, I started reading a lot more in high school. And so when I took my ACT, that was my highest scoring thing was the reading.
Wow.
Thing. And I had no idea that was
different strokes for different folks. It's all different.
I think math was my lowest.
Yeah, that's I'm the opposite. Math was like by far my highest.
Really? I was in the same boat with Will. My problem is I I couldn't read fast enough. I'm a slow, I want
to I had to read the questions first. You go to the back, you go read question, and then you just scan. You just... Keywords.
Yeah, they tell you that. Boom. And mine was like, okay, I'm going to read it. Then I'm going to go through the questions. Oh, I forgot what I read. I had a bad approach on it. But also, I just wasn't good at reading. I didn't even really get good at reading. I don't even think I'm good at reading, but I didn't get to the point where I could consistently read without not going too slow or not paying attention until I got to college, until I'm like, reading is super important for me, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, what defines a good reader, though?
I'd say comprehension.
Because I'll tell you how much I loved reading during my ACT, because I got distracted and forgot I was taking a test because I was reading something that interested me so much. I was like, it was about the first electric guitar.
Well, that's
being on a piece of plank of wood. So I just slowly started reading it, and then I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be answering questions.
Well, no, it's 100% comprehension look at the ACT. What do they test for? Comprehension.
Right.
Your reading. That's a good metric. That's a good level. But your ability for comprehension in a time-centric basis where you're being timed, I mean, it's got to be comprehension and then speed. But I'd say comprehension before speed every day of the week. Because if you blow through a book but didn't understand one thing, that doesn't measure me as a good reader.
Yeah.
I'd say it's for sure comprehension. And I always was like so focused on the comprehension that I'd go so slow and then lose focus. But now it's like once you do it more and more and more and more and more, you get quicker and you get better at the comprehension because you learn more of the words.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Shane? Would you agree?
Yeah, comprehension's a big part of it. I mean, that's being able to absorb.
It's probably all everything. Of it.
That's pretty much
it is, and I find it easier to absorb off of a physical book. Than than like a online class, like you're like got to read an article or something.
That's fair. That is fair.
And I think just everything we absorb will improve us in some way. And so if you gain that ability to look at words and text and able to just decipher it easily, then you can just it's unlimited doors of reading and books. Like and back to the ACT, I haven't thought about that since I took it. You know, but another strategy they told me was. You don't need to know any science to pass the science portion. And it's all you really need to do is read the because on those, they give you all the information in the question.
Mm-hmm.
That's like required. There's no secret formula that you're not going to know about in the science portion.
You.
Yeah. In math, you just have to have those memorized beforehand. But science, they'd give it to you. It's in the picture. It's in the question. And so I didn't know anything about science. Not that smart in that category, but I that was my second highest in the ACT was science, and it's because I would just read the question and find what looked like, all right, so it said something about the Fahrenheit, this, so I'm going to look at this, and there's the word in the question, and so here it is as one of the answers, and I'd answer that, and then I'd get it right. So it's really, if you just have the ability to absorb and see things from different angles and just collect what the actual meaning is, I think it can prove any skill you have.
Yeah, you know, reading is like information's like food. If you're able to digest it and comprehend it, you're able to have success with that information. Yeah. And if you can put good food into your body, if you can put good information into your body, you have a great ability to digest it in a better way.
Yeah, and I think reading helps sports. You know, it's a we have been talking about it on, for a while now, so bringing it back to sports is it's like with your baseball books and everything, you know, if you think about it, it's like, oh, it's just words on paper. How could that affect my game, my performance? But it really is, it's just getting you in that thought space while you're reading it. You can, like, meditate on it, dwell on it, and so you could bring that to the table later. Any literature is like that, but, yeah, you can focus it with sports.
What was that voice you were doing?
I don't know.
That was like a little... impression of something.
My impression of you? I don't know.
That was funny.
I didn't see. I do that too often. I didn't even notice.
Hawk Talk Comedic Hour.
On the let's do impressions. We can go into straight. Well, into
you probably have the best impressions. That was good. Now reading over here, this might not help me. That was like, yeah, that was good.
I was trying to decipher that too.
I mean, we all use voices. Shane uses a voice when he does the sports show. When he does that sped up reading, that his voice does change. He doesn't
talk. What do
you do? It's very. From an outside perspective, I don't know his internal.
You're inside. You're in the control room.
Yeah. So I'm just like trying to follow what he's saying, but it's like he's turned up the momentum, and then it's kind of that announcer cadence that he's using. He doesn't use that in his normal speech, and so you can just kind of pick up on that. Like we all do that. So when I'm trying to make a point, you know, like an intelligent point, I will usually do a funny voice to like. But to make it seem less legitimate.
That'll just comes with the flow of like you. One thing I found with announcing games is you have to let the action control.
Yeah,
everything. Action. You are not supplying the action. You are just interpreting the action in a way that is easy to understand. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Most of the time,
it's like when you learn an acting. It's acting is reacting. You know, it's like, and so it's the same with being a reporter, an announcer. It's your ability to, and the same with the reading we were doing, where it's to absorb, to know what's going on, and be able to boom respond.
I think you hit the nail right on the head, and you hit the nail pretty hard. Like that was good because I agree with the fact that, I mean, your job, you're not the show, you're not the entertainment, but what is what's happening, and so how can you basically caption what's happening, and you caption it in different ways. If it's a great picture or moment, then you got to caption it in a different way. If it's a dull moment,
exactly.
And so the action dictates how you sound. That's good.
Yeah, it's wild because the getting in that headspace it can be super easy just by changing your voice slightly, changing how you talk. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you have different resonating tones. You could talk from, I could talk from down here, and I could talk from up here. And I have either resonating tone I could use, and it's whatever's most comfortable for you, whatever makes the point the best. Yeah. I mean, when there's a big play, and you've done a big play before, to go higher. It's a score. You have to go higher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You go up and resonate by your ears or even the top of your head. It's a score. Like, you have to go higher.
I love those announcers who don't when they're like, and there's a score for the Blues.
I mean, I'm not saying you scream. I'm not even saying your
it's
volume.
Not like soccer.
Really. The volume does it.
No, I'm not even saying your volume has to really go higher. Like it does go higher. But
the excitement in your voice,
your pitch makes it go higher.
Yes.
You really don't need your volume to go that high. Your headsets are pretty pumped in.
Yeah.
If anything, I turn the volume down. But what you do is your voice gets a little higher because you can't stay down here and get hyped. And you don't even want to be down here. You just want to be relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever's comfortable and relaxed for you.
Got to adapt to the
get hyped,
the time,
like Shane
happening.
Said, for the big action. For the big action.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Halloween.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed going back to like kind of letting the action do the talking. That's one thing I noticed after Doc Emrick retired from broadcasting a couple weeks ago when he was doing interviews on various talk shows and whatnot, and they asked him about it. And he said one of the biggest things he learned was you're not the center. The broadcaster's not the center of attention. The action, you can watch a game without a broadcaster.
Yeah.
But the broadcaster just enhances what's going on. His job is not to be the action. His job is to interpret the action in a manner that's easy to understand. And
that's good.
He was one of the best at it. And it blows my mind. Somebody did a study, like they watched a game and found God knows how many different words he used just for, it was like 60 or 70 different words for pass. And that comes from having a deep vocabulary and just being able to pull that, having that stored somewhere where it just comes out and you're just talking.
That's interesting.
I wish I had that ability when I was writing a paper, man. I feel like I say the same thing every sentence. Like
there's two sides to that because it was there 60 in a hockey game, I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Was there 60 different passes in the game? right? Yes, there was more than 60 passes, but some passes are the same, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just, okay, he does it here, does it here. But in a hockey game in three 20-minute periods, there's for sure variations of the pass. And so he had a different word when the pass dictated a different word. When the pass made him say a different word, that blows my mind.
Oh, so you're saying, so his are very specific. He is saying exactly what kind of pass.
So his job is to describe what's happening.
Yeah.
And my question is, there's 60 different passes, you know? If there are only 40 different passes, maybe he will need to use 40 words. Or that's the thing I've seen some people do, is they will use different words just to use different words. But that's not always a good thing.
No.
You want to use different words that describe exactly.
The words have to mean something. Like, his are intentional words. Yeah.
And that's what he did. That's why he's a GOAT.
Yeah, that's a level of intellect.
That's why he's a GOAT.
I'm not even there. Yeah.
And I can't we could do is ever learn from him. He's a GOAT. So, I mean, but basically using different words that describe exactly what goes on, that comes from how many years did he do it? I mean, he's seen more
50
hockey.
50 years in
the
sport of
hockey.
He's seen
more hockey than we've been alive. He's seen more hockey.
Over twice as long.
Yeah.
That's so wild. Yeah, if you do that long enough, you got to know those words, I guess. It's got to come with the trade, but he did it well. He could string it together so organically.
I could literally turn away from the TV and for an entire game and know exactly what was going on.
So vivid description.
Especially with hockey and the pace is really quick.
His pace matched the pace of hockey.
Yeah.
Like his pace was perfect for the sport of hockey.
Man, we're going to miss him.
Yeah. He will be missed.
Who's it going to be? Mike Tirico? Who's going to fill in for him now at NBC?
I bet there's going to be a flux for a little bit until they find one guy that they're just
right. They're doing with Monday Night Football. They've had three different crews in the past 3 years. Yeah.
I don't like being in that stage because I feel like there's like golden eras for things where it's like this was the good time. And so the good time for, hockey announcers was when Doc was around. So now it'll be like, all right, so is there going to be another one after that, or is there just going to be not?
I mean, there will be another one.
Like a better one.
I don't know if there will be.
Unbiased opinion.
I'm pretty biased.
John Kelly, Darren Pang, St. Louis Blues fans know those names.
Right.
Best announcers in hockey. Best local announcers in hockey. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I haven't heard.
Come at us if you want.
Team, but I agree.
Yeah, it's you can't go wrong with the Blues.
And speaking of the Blues and looking back and daylight savings time, we're going to do that here in a short bit. We're going to look back at some of our favorite sports memories and rewind the clock a little bit in honor of daylight savings time. So stick right with us. We'll be right back on QTV Hawk Talk, the podcast. Hopefully you got your extra hour of sleep over the weekend or maybe stayed up an hour later. But either way, daylight savings time was over this weekend. We fell back. We gained an hour. And so in honor of daylight savings time, we decided to look back and think if there was one sports memory, one sports moment we could rewind and turn back the clock and relive all over again, what would it be? And Will, I pose that question to you. Why don't you kick us off and think back to a memorable sports memory. I have an idea of what it could be, but why don't you tell the listeners what that would be?
So for me, it was a memory. I know we talked earlier on the show about baseball, and I was watching a particular baseball game, and it was in the postseason. And this team actually got pretty deep in the postseason. And the matter of the fact, they were in the World Series. And the interesting part of this is they had a pretty historic run, not only to get in the playoffs, they were down by double-digit games down the stretch, so kind of an afterthought. They weren't a team that won the division. They won the wild card. They got in and really had to grind through a team that won over 100 games. against the Philadelphia Phillies. And then they had to continue to grind and against the Brewers. And then they had to continue to grind, right? They're getting the World Series, and they're playing the Texas Rangers. And a guy who's led them that way is also a hometown hero, David Freese. He came to the plate in Game 6 of the World Series. They're down to their final strike. He hits a ball to right field, and it gets somehow gets by Nelson Cruz, and he gets a triple. Tie game. Then he comes up a few innings later and hits a bomb. Joe Buck says, "We will see you tomorrow night." I remember it all. I was locked into the TV the entire time. The amount of euphoria I had when he hit that triple, it was incredible. When he hit that home run, I mean, literally the arch was frozen that night for David Freese. It was one of the greatest sports memories I think I'll ever have. I'll never forget it. It was incredible. I wish we could turn back the clock for that and relive that again. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
How about you? How about you, Wyatt?
Well, I can't remember who said it, but there's a quote about joy is better when it's remembered. And so that memory does sound like, in your mind, it's like it's become such a staple in your memory because mm-hmm. that is such a big deal. And I know at the time, I bet it was so euphoric. But looking back now, I bet it's so much better. You're like, as a kid, you're like, that was the greatest moment.
It was insane. Just
the memory of it was so good. My sports memories, I was talking about it earlier. My sports career has not been, you know, very successful. You know, I played a little bit in high school.
Depends on your definition of success.
It was successful for me because I had fun. But but exactly. It wasn't successful if you're looking at the score or how many times I got injured or, you know, hitting mailboxes on the way to a game. But, you know, like just little things like that.
It happens.
But, yeah, so one of my favorite memories, I guess, from sports was we were playing football against this team, Steelville, who was kind of like our – like we in football, that was our I guess, our rival. They just beat – they always beat us, like, way too hard. You know, like, you don't have to be that cruel. But, no, I'm just kidding. But they came to Jeff to play with us. And
of course, you're from Jefferson City.
Jefferson City. And – I was a lineman, and our team was so small that they would just move me anywhere they needed me. So I played defense and offense, and I had played the whole game. I was exhausted. You know, it was hot. I really just wanted to go home. Like, I was not having a good time that day. I had my both legs taped up from chin splints, and I had gotten tackled in the last game, and, like, my leg was all jacked up. But I was still playing, and all of a sudden – I realized after about a halftime when I got hit that I wasn't wearing a cup. Do you ever do that? You ever forget to wear a cup?
Not me in particular. That's come back to haunt me. Thank goodness, but not to get you off track, and I want to get back to the story.
No, I got it.
I did. I was pitching one time, and for whatever reason, my catcher was not protected and took a foul ball.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know.
I won't
elaborate any further. So yeah. Wyatt, continue.
And I'll tell you, I've been in a lot of accidents in my life. So I've been definitely injured in that area many times. You know, it's the most painful experience I think of your life. Just every
just
time.
Just under childbirth, yeah. I would imagine.
Just under childbirth. That's debatable. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so that game that happened once. I got barely, you know, tackled during. During a special plays or whatever, but special teams. But then when we got back to defense, I was like, well, this is bad. You know, what do I do? But I had the perfect opening to get a sack in that play, and I got it. And that was the first tackle, like, where they didn't gain any yardage, you know. And so I was like, all right, everything's turning around. But I still had this thought in my mind, like, I don't have a cup on. So this is either going to go really bad or I'm just going to be lucky. So anyway, this guy did not appreciate me tackling him. And so the second time I tackled him, he kicked me. He kneed me in the crotch while we were on the ground. And I was in so much pain that I started laughing and I couldn't stop. And the guys on the other team, like the other, they were freaking out because I was just laughing hysterically. And then I would tackle them so hard because I was in so much pain that the adrenaline was rushing through my body. And that was the best game I'd ever played because I just kept sacking people. For like the next few plays, I would just boom, down, boom, down. And then the coach called me off to the side. And he goes, "Do you have a cup on?" And I go, "No." Because I was all week back to the side. But that was my favorite game because that's the best performance I ever done. It's because of the extreme pain.
Did you turn out well though the next day? Were you?
How I felt fine.
Yeah. The jewels were okay.
Yeah, dude, I'm healthy. But I like that memory a lot just because you know, when you're a lineman, the adrenaline's what you go for. You know, once you hit somebody during a game, you can just go all day. And so after that enough pain, and then that anger towards that guy for hitting me was just enough for me to play like one of my best games of that season.
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
You finished with 10 tackles and 4 sacks.
Yes, definitely something like that. No, I don't know like that, but that quarter of the game was the best quarter I've ever done. So.
Wow.
That's my best memory.
You get knocked down and you get right back up.
Yeah. That always happens to me though. When I get in fights or I guess I shouldn't say that, but when I get in into physical
everybody's gotten into a fight now.
Physical things that get your heart rate going, I guess. I do get the adrenaline makes me like laugh, and then I just kind of like brush off pain and just keep going.
Laugh now, cry later.
Exactly. Sports are fun like that because that adrenaline, I think that's the only reason why I played sports. Starting off because I played football. I played baseball first, and then whenever you play that first game, and then the ball gets hit out into the outfield, and you're just a right fielder because you suck at everything. But you're like, oh, it's coming right towards me, and your heart is I was a right fielder, so you just grab it right out of the air, and everyone's like, yeah, you throw it back in. That first bit of adrenaline I got from that first game, I would just always chase that every game after, and that one football game, it was at its peak, I think.
Hey, sometimes it takes getting.
But also think about it makes me really uncomfortable.
With the juices pumping a little bit.
Yeah, I do feel kind of uncomfortable now remembering that.
It kind of made me uncomfortable, not going to lie.
What about our listeners?
Yeah. What about you, Shane? You probably have one that's a little less physical.
Oh, well, this is a very recent, not turning back the clock too much. 2019, there was a particular National Hockey League team that had never won a Stanley Cup. I lived about 45 minutes from the arena. I hadn't really been a hockey fan my entire life, per se. My fandom probably started around the age of 10 or 11 because my cousin started to play hockey. He's about four years younger than me. He started playing when he was about 7 or 8, so around the age of 11 or 12. So give or take 8 years of following the Blues really closely. The St. Louis Blues, of course, is the team I'm alluding to. And this is a team that had been to the Stanley Cup Finals before and gotten absolutely demolished. They'd had the best record in the league, I believe it was 2000. They won the President's Trophy and lost early in the playoffs. Of course, I wasn't really old enough to remember that, of course, but playoff heartbreak galore. They're always good enough to make the playoffs, but could never get over the hump. And this fellow named Jordan Binnington gets called up in January, pitches a shutout, as they would say in baseball, and gets the team rolling. They go on a massive win streak, go into the playoffs, and start running through the Western Conference. They beat the Winnipeg Jets, the Dallas Stars, and then we get to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Boston Bruins. We know St. Louis sports fans have their qualms about Boston sports fans. Won't go too much into that. But so this has been a back-and-forth series. It's tied 3-3, of course, going to Game 7, the two greatest words in sports. In Boston, and so it's the day, I can't remember exactly what day of the week it was, but that day it was probably 2 or 3 o'clock. I went to, there's a Planet Fitness two miles down the street from my house. My cousin, who the one who plays hockey had a membership there, so I went with him and his sister, and we worked out for a while. And we finished working out. It's probably about 3:30 or so. And I get this text from my friend Charlie, who goes to Quincy here. And he goes, I have an extra ticket to go watch the St. Louis Blues at what was then Scott Trade Center, which is now Enterprise Center. They were showing it on the Jumbotron. Of course, the game being played in Boston, but of course, showing it at what is now Enterprise Center was Scott Trade Center. And so I'm like, he's like, the tickets are $20. Give me $20. We can go down to Scott Trade, four of us, him and two of his other buddies. And so I was like, you know what? I might not get another opportunity like this. I don't really have any plans, so let's go for it. And so the game was at 7, I think it was 7 o'clock. And so we got down there, tried to get down there early, you know, 6:15. And, I mean, this place, you would think Game 7 was being played in St. Louis. I mean, there are people in this watching in the street. There's 20,000 fans inside Scott Trade Center. The place is packed, of course, pre-COVID-19, of course, when stadiums could be packed. And this night I will remember forever when Alex Pietrangelo scored that goal late in the first period, and that place went absolutely crazy. I'm thinking, you know what? The Blues could actually win the Stanley Cup tonight. And when it got up to, I believe, it's the Blues. It's the life of a Blues fan. You always think, oh, what's the next thing that can possibly go wrong? How are we going to choke this away? But when it got up to 4-1 in the third period, I think with like 5 or 6 minutes left, you could just feel it in the building that this could be it. They're actually going to win the Stanley Cup. And then as the clock was winding down, and of course, Doc Emrick was on the call, of course, and when he finally said, the St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champions, I kid you not, I don't think I've ever been in a louder place in my life. I mean, you would think, they play Gloria the whole bit. It was like you were at an actual game, but the game was being played halfway across the country. That was one of the greatest nights of my life. Just being there, being in St. Louis, even if the game wasn't in St. Louis, being in St. Louis when the St. Louis Blues finally won the Stanley Cup, and to get the opportunity to do that is something I'll cherish forever and something I'll remember forever. And getting they had newspaper clippings, of course, you know, they print them before the game and have them ready just in case they do win, you know, the first newspaper clipping of the Blues being Stanley Cup champions, and getting that as you walk out the door and they're blasting Gloria in the streets, and one of the local radio stations is going to play Gloria, I believe, for 24 hours nonstop, and you're just driving down the street, people with their windows down, you know, after probably a few adult beverages and who knows what else. Yeah. And of course, I wasn't of legal drinking age at that time. I wish I would have been, but I mean, that was wow. That was one of the greatest nights of my life, and one I will certainly never forget. I'll hang on to that newspaper clipping for as long as I live and pass that on to whoever wants it. So
your memory is so much better than mine. This is like when you when you go up to present in front of the class and they pick you first, and you're like, all right, I think I did pretty okay. And then the next kid goes up, and it's like
there's that 10 voice
minutes
again.
Longer. It's I have plenty of voices. Yeah, but that's the – because my story is very very lackluster compared to that. I guess the closest I have to that was I went to the the All-Star game last year, and I got to see that guy Vlad Jr. break the home run record, even though he didn't win
home
the
run
derby. He didn't win the derby, but he won amount of home runs at the derby, and he broke that record. And I got his jersey because of that. I bought his jersey. I was like, I don't know anything about the Toronto Blue Jays, but I'm gonna definitely get this jersey.
this
now.
Guy's the future.
Yeah. So I've been following him since then. But that was I guess that's a pride moment with sports. I was like, for somebody else, I was like, good for him. That's awesome. He's a French-Canadian. And he came down here and he played his hardest and he didn't win. And the other guy took it away because he only had to hit like a fraction of the home runs Vlad did to get to the end of the bracket. But it was like, I don't know. It's just something about it that's so impressive. That's so like, I just kept saying another one. And then he would. And I was like, like it was amazing. Yeah, that's the close I had to that. Yours is just out of the water. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime moment,
it,
man.
It truly is a once-in-a-lifetime, especially for someone who invests basically their entire life into sports in a team that literally plays just down I-70 from where I live. Yeah. I mean,
and those games are always good, the Blues games.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Shane. I mean, that was one of my best nights of my life for sure. 100%.
So wild, guys. Oh, man.
And watching that
it's
game.
So lucky.
It's, and like you think about it, you're 22 years old, 21, 22, 23 years old. Like, that is a once in a lifetime. Like, 100-something years could happen. We'll still be talking about that.
Yeah, I wonder
some Blues fans, I mean, the Blues have been around for over 50 years.
Yeah.
So some Blues fans lived and died before the Blues even won a Stanley Cup. So
oh, that's
they feel
so
truly
sad.
Lucky.
There are a lot of teams like that, though, where the fan base is so dedicated, even if they don't win, you know. And I like that, because when they do win, it's
that
out of the
rewarding?
Water. It is.
That's kind of like the Blues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why
definitely,
it was special
definitely.
With them.
Oh, so it's so cool. I love those games, man. I think a Blues game made me like hockey, because before then I didn't know anything about hockey, but I was in St. Louis, and I think I. Was supposed to go to some other game. Either this is, it must have been the baseball game. No, school trip maybe. I can't remember. But I was there for something else, and I just decided to go to a Blues game instead because I was like, this is way more entertaining than what I was going to do anyway. And I went in, and everyone was
like it.
There was like all the fans were just into. This is like a middle of the season game, but there were so many fans, and just they were into it the whole time. I was like. And they're like, home of the Blues. And I'm like, dude, I'm sold. This is my team. Yes.
Charles Glenn.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Man. Oof. I mean, I cannot wait to go to a Blues game and have a stadium packed. Again, I can't wait.
Yeah. Going to sports events
there's
with
nothing
full
like
stance.
It. I love being a fan of the Blues. I love being a hockey fan.
Yeah.
And I love you telling that story of packed. I remember watching the game with my family, and it was just we were crazy. We pulled up. We obviously had the Stanley Cup. We pulled up the radio to hear what Curbs was going to say for the call. It was just – I literally even got goosebumps when you were telling that story. I mean, it's – I was actually at the game on New Year's Eve. I know what you're talking about, New Year's Eve. Before this – like the broad – before we went on the podcast about this coming year and what we did last year, but 2 years ago, I guess, going into 2019 –
we were both at that game. I remember.
We were both at that game. And that was the game when the new year hit. They were the worst team in the entire league. The worst. Like 30 out of 30. The worst team.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there and the Blues lost.
They got spanked by the Rangers. Spanked.
This is a New Year's Eve game. What do? They win the Stanley Cup that year. After being the worst team in the league.
Yeah, it's wild.
The 6 days later is when Jordan Binnington made his debut. After we went to that game, we were both at that game. They wound up winning that title.
Wow.
Oh, how the tables can turn.
Yeah, that's so wild, man. That's our generation's kind of a victory we need for the Missouri area, Missouri, Illinois.
And we were thinking, I'm sure, Will, you had the same thoughts at that time. Like, what are we doing? Like, what is this team? And then all of a sudden, this young man, Jordan Binnington.
And that was just last year, right?
No, two years ago. So,
and then we had the Chiefs win this year. There's big Missouri plays going on, man.
Yeah,
big win.
It was 2019. They won the Cup. Yeah. The game we went to was December 31st, 2018. They won the Cup 2019, I guess, later that summer.
June.
And when did the Golden Knights start playing? I'm trying to figure out when I started watching hockey again.
2017.
Yeah, so I had only started watching hockey again for 2 years before the Blues won the Stanley Cup. That was a big – so I was like, have they done this before? And then they're like, no. And I'm like, no. Whoa.
They've been there, but never.
Yeah.
That was back in the expansion era when.
Yeah, I knew they'd
all been. All the teams and all the expansion teams were in the same conference. So pretty much whoever won that conference was probably going to get spanked in the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Blues just happened to be that.
Oh, man. So great. That's a good memory, Shane. That totally derailed the whole train of thought. Now I'm just obsessing over the Blues and that memory. Yeah,
we could
a movie memory.
We could obsess over the Blues for hours on end.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely just keep talking about it. My one thing I've noticed about the Blues games, I'm obsessing. We can change the topic, but after the,
go ahead, go for it.
One thing I've noticed is that they're a lot nicer, the Blues fans, than some of the other hockey teams I've gone to see. Like, I went and saw the Predators in Nashville, and they bash the other team like they killed their mom. Like, they hate
anybody. I've heard that about Nashville
before. Who comes in their stadium. And so that's another reason why I think I liked hockey immediately. It was like the fans were great, and then, like, you know, like the sport can be rough. But, like, if everyone's still having a good time, then it's great. But if everyone's so negative, like that game, I don't think I could have been a Predators fan. But the fact that my first couple games getting back into hockey were Blues really cemented that I like hockey again.
Hockey's a wonderful sport, and I really encourage, if you haven't given hockey a chance, and you tuned us out through that conversation, that's your prerogative. You can do that. But if you're still with us, and we're going on just about an hour, if you're still with us, thank you for sticking with us this whole time.
Yeah, hour-long and
special. Hockey is one of those sports where once you get wrapped up in it, there's nothing like it. Especially, they talk about different sports are better for like football, I think, is made for television.
Yep, made for fantasy.
Baseball, to an extent, but there's nothing like being at the ballpark. Basketball, to an extent, but the atmosphere at a basketball game is always amazing. But nothing compares to being at a hockey game. It could be a mid-January game in the middle of the season against the worst team in the league, and you're between the two worst teams in the league, and it's still going to be an amazing atmosphere.
I agree.
There's just nothing compares to the atmosphere of a hockey game.
Yeah, I don't even – like, I love watching hockey on TV, but I agree. Like, there's some – like, football, like, watch on TV. Like, you're going to be – there's hundreds of thousands of people there that you can't even see. Yeah. You can see Patrick Mahomes up close on TV. But, like, no, yeah, I agree. Hockey game, nothing like it.
Yeah, it's the environment, the cool air really gets you into the thick of it, you know. You feel like you're involved because you're in the cold with them, I think. I don't know. Oh, man. Yeah, hockey's wild. You ever watch that movie Goon?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That kind of movie. Just about hockey fighting is so funny to me because it's so there's rules to it. You know, like when there's fights in other sports like baseball or football, then it's usually like – unprecedented, you know, like they're throwing fists, they don't really know what's going on, it's random
suspensions,
it's a mosh fines. Pit, yeah, fines. But in hockey, it's just understood, gloves down, and then you
get a 5-minute timeout.
Yeah, 5-minute timeout. And everyone is
go to your room
cheering. They see that tooth fly out and hit the, you know, fly out of the ring, and some kid catches it, he's like, yeah, you know, like whatever. I don't know. But
oh, man.
You said you see that and it's like, oh yes, this is what I came for.
This hockey talk, all those fights we talked about this weekend.
There was a lot going on. You mentioned that earlier.
The Zoo game had a fight. The Bears game had a fight. We talk about the hockey fights. That's how it should be. Drop the gloves and go in the box for 5 minutes if you really want to fight.
Imagine if all sports were like hockey. Imagine baseball, and you steal third, and the pitcher's not having it. So he comes over to you.
That's when you get a fastball to the ribs.
Oh yeah, You got projectile weapons in baseball. You don't need to fight. You can just, if you throw a good fastball,
fastball will start a fight though.
Oh yeah, definitely. Those fights I've seen in baseball, they kind of make you feel sad because not because like,
oh, they shouldn't be fighting,
but just because baseball is such a
you know, like an old sport, a gentleman's game. There's so many rules of you're not allowed to celebrate or anything. Just go out and play the sport the way it meant to be played. And then you see those fights happen. You're like, this is just disrupting the game. You know, like, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like that to me. But hockey, it's so integral that mm-hmm. you get excited for it.
Yeah.
You
know?
And then afterwards, after those 60 minutes, you beat the crap out of each other and they all get in a line and shake each other's hands.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That has to take the cake. That has to be one of the greatest, I'm not even going to say one of the best tradition in all of sports. You go out there for 60 minutes, lay it all on the line, beat the crap out of each other for 2.5 hours, 60 minutes.
Well, think about the playoffs. It's for they shake after seven games.
You're at war with this team.
They beat
the hell out of each other. They're in fights for seven games, and they have to man up and shake each other's hands.
Yeah.
Hey, I just lost the cup to you, but here.
Dude, every single game.
I agree.
Integrity. mm-hmm. You gotta respect your opponent. You gotta have respect, man. Wow. Yeah, man. The best hockey fight I think I've ever seen was one of those leagues that people just make in their town. You know, it's like older guys.
Beer league.
Yeah. One guy, he had like mutton chops. and he took a swing, like a baseball swing, with his stick on the guy's back, and that's how the fight started.
That's what I call a 5-minute major for slashing.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think he played ever again. That was like a small thing. Oh man, when I was a kid, we'd play, and I was so bad at skating that I would just, like, all the injuries I'd get were just me falling down.
Will, you a good skater?
Never, no, not at all. I can't skate.
Used to be able to.
I will get hurt if I try to skate. One, they barely ever have anything my size. I wear size 14, 15. Yeah. Two, when I get it on there and someone tries to skate, someone tried to hold my hand. They better not be holding someone else's hand because we're all going down.
Yeah, because I'm going to pull all of the force.
If I'm going down, you're going down with
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
That's what usually happens.
Oh, man. I busted my lip open once on the ice just because I fell like the comedic, like, legs were behind me, like,
oh,
in the air.
No.
And then my face was the first thing to hit the ground. I've injured that myself a lot in my life, and it's great every time. A great memory every time. I still got the scar. It's like a little dot on my face. It's so annoying when I see it.
That's a memory you'll hold forever.
Oh yeah, that blood all over the ice, and all the girls going. Great memory.
The chicks dig the scars, man.
Definitely.
Chicks dig it.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you. We're digging this podcast. We sure were.
Yeah,
we
hour long special. Time. Yeah,
one heck of a time. Fellas, always a good time. For Will Connerly, Wyatt Randolph, I'm Shane Holsey. This has been another edition of QUTV Hawk Talk podcast. I hope you had as much fun as we did. Hope you had a great Halloween weekend. And if you haven't yet, please do vote in the election. If you're listening to this either on Monday or Tuesday, please do vote and stay safe. Be well and take care, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.